Once again, from James chapter 1 and verse number 17, we want to talk about God's gifts from above. There are many people today that are experiencing difficulties in their lives. In days gone by, when one family down the street had a problem, the other neighbors would help. People who once were at the top are finding themselves now at the back of giveaway lines in need of help. The big help organizations, of course, have been there for years. The Red Crosses, the Salvation Army, the American Way, and all and such as those. But as members of God's church, we know how important help is. I believe we help out, for we believe what the Bible tells us. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 10, the Bible says, when we have opportunity, we are to be kind and do good to all men, especially those from the household of faith. For we above all are aware of the giving God that God has given us. He is still giving us each and every day. If you don't think you've been blessed today, think what your day would be without a blessing. If you don't think that you've been blessed today, just think how if you open your eyes this morning, if you got up this morning, God has blessed you. Each and every day He blesses us. So in our text for today, it speaks of just how great of a giver God is. If anyone needs help and don't know God, we ought to be first in the forefront to help them to meet God. We ought to be in the forefront to help them by introducing them to God. And so there are those who may ask the question, since we know that God is a giver of all good and perfect gifts, and someone may ask the question, what has God given to us? What has God given to us? Well, He gave you food this morning. He gave you shelter last night. He gave you the ability to get up and clothe yourself this morning. And somebody might say, well, I did all that by myself, preacher. Well, I got news for you. Everything that we have belongs to God. And I know what some of us think. The bank book that has my name on it is not God's, but the money that's inside of that bank book, that belongs to God. Everything we have belongs to God. So preacher, just tell me, what are some of the things or gifts or giveaways that God has given us? Well, God has given us eternal life. Somebody may ask the question, preacher, what is eternal life? Well, let me try to explain it, if I may. How many times have we heard the term priceless? And I don't mean just on those commercials on TV where they say it's priceless. But how many times have you heard that phrase, it's priceless, meaning something is beyond value, something is beyond what you can afford your few dollars to pay for it. And I know many of us in here are concerned about the falling dollar and what dollars buy us today. But you know something? God will always make a way. God will always make a way. So when there's something that's priceless, being that it's beyond value, eternal life is just that. It is a gift that's priceless. It is a giveaway from God, and this is where Christians should be at the head of the line once again. Do you remember in Matthew chapter 19 and verse number 16 where one came to Jesus and said, Master, what good thing shall I do that I may inherit? That I may have eternal life. Well, Jesus answered him in verse number 17 of that same text. He said, keep the commandment. Notice what he said. He added an S to that word. He didn't simply say, keep the commandment. He said, keep the commandments. Notice, we can't do just one thing and expect to receive eternal life. Now, let's not confuse eternal life with what we speak of in today's vernacular as natural life. Natural life and eternal life are two different things. Natural life and eternal life are not the same thing. Natural life has an ending, but eternal life has no ending. Eternal life means God as a part of our lives forever. One who clings to the prospect of natural life will only come to know that without the hope of Christ Jesus, there is no glory, according to Colossians 1 and verse number 27. Eternal life. Eternal life is a part of what God gives us. It's one of God's giveaways to us. It is said in 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 11, God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. It's not up for auction on eBay. You can't find it on Amazon.com. And it certainly cannot be found down at the mall, whether you shop at Macy's or whether you shop at Kmart. Neither has eternal life in their stock for sale. Neither can sell you an ounce of eternal life. But God gives it away to us. It's a gift from God. Then, when James 1:17, I'll repeat the scripture. James 1:17 says, "For every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." It comes down from above. And I may as well tell you what First John 5 and 12 tells us also. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. So if you don't have God in your life, you don't have life. If you don't have God in your life, you don't know what you're missing out. And somebody said, told me over the years, they said, "Well, I would become a Christian, but you know something? Christian life is boring." I'll admit, when we come in here, we don't have the loud organ music blaring. I'll admit, the angelic all-stars are not here when you get here on Sunday. I'll admit that we don't play bingo in here. And one other thing I'll admit is that we don't set one another up for dates. I told you that before. I'm not setting anybody up for anything like that. But I tell you something that we do have. We have the Word of God. And the Word of God surpasses what? All understanding. Isn't that right, church? So God has given us this gift. But God has included some other gifts. And I wish I had time, but you won't allow me to tell you about all of the gifts that God has given us. So I want to talk to you just a few of them, if you will, in this small space of time that I have. Something else that God has given us. He has given us the Holy Spirit. Now the Holy Spirit is one-third of the Godhead. One-third of the Godhead. The Spirit is also sent from God, according to John chapter 15 and verse number 26, where Jesus said, "But when the Comforter has come," I want you to notice this part, church, "when the Comforter has come, whom I will send unto you, proceeded from the Father." The Holy Spirit came from above, church. Every good and every perfect gift comes from the Father above. The Spirit is sent from God and is sent by God. Go with me to John chapter 16, around about verse number 13, if you will. John chapter 16, around verse number 13. Watch what the Bible says. "Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whosoever shall hear, thou shalt he speak, and he will show you things to come." He will teach us things. He has the power, church. The Holy Spirit brings power to us so that we may understand. He will teach us all things, according to John chapter 16 and verse number 26. And he'll bring these things to remembrance. Power to reveal to us the Holy Spirit, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 10. Go over there with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse starting at verse number 10. "But God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yeah, the deep things of God." You wouldn't understand it without the Holy Spirit. Verse number 11. "Well, what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God." And then verse number 12, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit of is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things we also speak, not in the words in which man wisdom teach, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." Oh, I tell you something. The Holy Spirit works out all right if you allow it. God's gift to us is the Holy Spirit. It's part of God's giveaway to us. And I may as well add this. The Holy Spirit, like eternal life, is not for sale. Simon tried to buy it from the apostles in Acts chapter 8. Do you remember in Acts chapter 8, somewhere starting around about verse number 18, I believe. That's where the money, that's where they told him, he wanted to know, can I buy a little bit of that? And the apostles told him that his heart was not right with God and that he needed to repent that thought from his heart that he may be forgiven. The heart is not right with God. And many of us are living with hearts that are not right with God. And if they're not right with God, the question becomes, if it's not, why not? And then we must be careful. We must be careful that we don't grieve God's gift to us of the Holy Spirit. Because according to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 30, that Spirit, it's the Spirit that seals us until the day of redemption. You know, I wouldn't want to play with something that's got my life in His hand. Got my soul in His hand, if you will. Not just my physical life. My physical life means nothing. Our physical lives are going to come to an end, whether you want them to end or whether you think they shouldn't end. They are going to come to an end. And when they come to an end, all that we can say for one another is that he lived a good life or he was a bad person and he lived a bad life. And when they roll you into the funeral home or into the church, somebody's going to stand up over you, say a few words and talk about you, but there's nothing they can do for you. There's nothing good and perfect except that which comes from God. God did not make man sinful, man. Man brought sin on himself way back in the garden. Do you remember when Adam and Eve committed this sin? They did something that God told them not to do. God didn't make them that way. And there are folk who ask the question all the time, why does God allow these things to happen? Well, God doesn't always allow these things to happen. We cause most of these things ourselves. But not only that, but God also gave us His Son. This is the important one, church. God gave us His Son. According to our text of James 1:17, every good and perfect gift is from above. Was Jesus good? Yes, He was. Was Jesus perfect? He's the only one that's perfect. Perfect in every aspect. But I want you to watch how perfection works. I want you to watch just what perfection can do. In Galatians chapter 4, around verse number 4, the Bible says, but when the fullness of time, that was when the time was right, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son. Not before, not after, but right on time, the fullness of time. When it got here, God sent forth His Son. Planned before the world was brought into being, according to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 20. Ordained before the foundation of the world, but manifest in these last times. And then in Titus 2 and 14, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from our sins, given to us that he might purify us. And in that same verse of 2:14, and purify unto himself a peculiar people. Isn't that what the Bible says, church? You may not have it in front of you, but that's what it says. And there are those who say, well, some people say I'm peculiar. Well, take that as a compliment if you are showing spirituality, if you are showing your Christian side. If not, it's something else. You might be peculiar. But if you're showing your Christian side, be happy when somebody says you are peculiar. Next time somebody tells you you're peculiar, just say thank God for that's what He wants us to be, a peculiar people. He gave us His Son who was rich, yet for our sake He became poor, that through poverty we might be rich. Yes, he had everything, but he gave it all up to become poor, like most of us are, that we might become rich. But then John 3:16, the old familiar text of the Bible in the Bible, I like to call it. John 3:16 wraps everything up that God gave us, His only begotten Son. But just who is this man called Jesus? Well, since I don't have enough time to tell you all about him, let me just try to put a brief on his life. You all do have a little time, I'm sure, don't you? Yeah, I know you got a little time. Let me just tell you who this man Jesus was. As an infant, he troubled a king. As a young boy in Luke chapter 2, he amazed the doctors. As a man, he healed the sick, raised the dead, and calmed the raging sea. He never had a scholarship named for his work, but he can lay claim to having more students than all the schools of this world. He never penned any classical novels or any classical writings, yet more books are written about him than can be read in a person's lifetime. He wasn't a songwriter, but we sing about him all of the time. Many great men of history have come along, but none came, died, and are now again living except the man Jesus Christ. He came, according to Matthew chapter 20 and verse number 28, not to be ministered but to minister, to give his life a ransom for many. God is the great giver. God is the great giver. And he gives great gifts. He gives good and perfect gifts. He gives unto us. But you know something? I wonder just how we give unto him. Oh yeah, he gives unto us. The question becomes, how is your giving toward him? Church, you knew it was just a matter of time before I touched on giving. And as long as I'm up here talking about the giving God, I may as well talk about the giving folk in the church. God has given us so much, and so we need to ask the question of ourselves, what am I doing for him? You all know a dollar doesn't go as far as it used to, so dropping a dollar in the collection plate like we did 10 years ago, that's not a good thing. Yes, I know what some folks say. They say, that's all I can afford. Well, that may be so, but are you willing to stand before God and tell God that's all that I had when you face him in the judgment? Are you willing to say, God, I gave my best? And somebody, maybe I should remind somebody about reading Acts chapter 5, starting about verse number 1 through about verse number 10. And I'm not going to go there right now, but it's about Ananias and Sapphira. If you read the story at home, you'll understand what I'm talking about. God is a giver. God is a giver unto us of good and perfect gifts. He is the cause that we live, that we breathe, that we have shelter, and that we think. And I tell you something else, church, that giving back to him means more than giving just that dollar. Giving back to him means that we are, some of us think this, that we can give whatever we want to, whenever we want to, and how we want to. But all you have to do is go to the instructions on giving in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, around about verse number 2. And I'm not going there either, but it gives us how to give, why to give, and the way to give. Not just someone might give just what they want to, but look what the text in the Bible tells you to give and how to give. Don't you want to read the text? Read it at home for yourself, by yourself, and with yourself. I tell you, there's something about giving back to God. If he has given anything to you, your life ought to be worth more than a dollar. What every perfect and good gift God has given us certainly is worth more than what we sometimes give him. And there are those who say, well, preacher, that's all I could afford to give. And that may be so, but you can give some of your time. You can give some of your time. You can call somebody up and say, I was thinking about you and I thought I'd call you and just see if we can pray for a little while and just pray with them. That's worth to some folk more than a few dollars anyhow. Because I tell you, all of us need prayer. I need prayer and you need prayer. And I tell you all the time that even if you don't pray for me, I'm going to continue to pray for you. Because you know why? Because prayer can change things. I can tell you that it does. I know that it does. So, whatever perfect and good gift God has given you, it's certainly worth what more than what some of us give back to him. The great thing about God's giving or God's giveaway is they're not secondhand. You know, some folk have a problem with secondhand stuff. I don't want that. Somebody else had that. I don't want that. But God's giveaways are not second-handed. God's giveaways are not hand-me-down. They are brought down from Him, of course, but nobody has ever had that before. He gives us each the opportunity to serve Him and to know Him. And I tell you something, church, thank God that He doesn't give us like we give Him. For if He gave us like we give back to Him, some of us would be in big trouble. Now, I know my message wasn't talking about giving to the church, but I just had to drop that in while I was in the territory. You understand what I'm talking about? I had to put that in because somebody said, well, I'm not giving like I should, but I don't know how much more I can do. Well, as I close this out, I just want to tell you about the giving God. I just want to tell you that God is good to us. Hasn't He been good to you? If you say no, you need to get up and walk out the door right now because He has been good. I don't even have to ask you because I see you. And if I see you, I know that God has blessed you. Now somebody may walk in and they may have a hurt here or a pain there, but you know something? The few hurts and pains that we go through are nothing compared to what Jesus went through for us. Oh, Jesus was beaten. He was beaten and then He was nailed to the cross. He wasn't just strapped by His wrist. He was nailed to the cross. And He hung there. And He hung there and somebody came to Him and said, drink this. And He said, I don't want that. And then the Bible tells me that as Jesus died, that the earth went dark, the sun refused to shine. Isn't that right, church? He gave His life that we might have our life. Isn't that right? But I tell you, when I think about the goodness and the perfectness of what God gives us, when I think about how great God is, when I think about that when I walk in the church every Sunday morning, when I think about that God has allowed me to come to His church, not my church, but His church. When I come to His church, I ought to come in willing to give. And talking about giving, I'm going to start right here with me. I'm going to examine myself to make sure that I'm giving like I ought to give. And if I'm not, I'm going to be the first one to change the number on my check that I give. But I tell you something, if I'm not giving right, then I'm going to ask God to give me the strength to understand the giving process. And when I understand the giving process, if I don't understand it, I think I got a grasp on it. But just in case I don't understand it, if I have to ask God to teach it to me all over again, and then I find out that my giving ain't right, I'm going to change my giving. Now you have to examine yourself and see if your giving is right. Because God gives us good and perfect gifts. He has giveaways to give us. Somebody said, well, I don't like things that people give me. And the question becomes, why not? If you don't like things that people give you, then don't take things that people give you, but take things that God give you. And when you take things that God give you, you react on those things. If God gives us the Holy Scripture, we ought to read the Holy Scripture. And somebody said, well, I know that was written by men. Yeah, but they were inspired men. They didn't just meet together and say, let's draft a Bible. Let's draft God's Word. They will breathe inspiration from God Himself. So when God gives, church, we ought to take it and do what He tells us to do with it. Obey His commandments. Do the commandments like He told the young man. He said, follow the commandments or do God's will, in other words. Talking about God's giveaways to us. And when you understand the theory of God's given to us and we start to give back to God. Excuse me. Some of us may say, well, I'll give more, but I'll have less. No, you won't. Because there's a scripture in the Bible in the Old Testament in Malachi chapter 3. And I'm not going to quote it, but
It basically asks you, will a man give like he's supposed to God? But when God gives, it's coming back. You can give all you've got, but God will make sure you still got just what you need, church. And if you got what you need, what else can you look for? Oh, yes, we'll all have wants. Because if I gave you the wants that I have in my mind, my list would run out the back door there. But I'm thinking in terms of what I need. And if I got what I need, if I got everything that I need, what else do I need? I've already got everything. You know, giving a gift to the person who has everything, what do you give them? Well, God has given us everything. The rest of these things that we want, that's not what His promise is all about. But now, don't get it wrong. God may give you some of what you want too, but you got to ask Him. And I'm a living witness that I told you already once, but I'm a living witness that prayer works. Prayer changes things. Prayer changes things because you know why? I've known too many people that have asked for prayer and they've gotten up and they've said that prayer changed things. It may not change things the way you want it to change things, but it changed things for the better. Even Jesus went to the Lord in prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, and guess what happened? He got some strength to carry on His mission, didn't He, church? Oh, yeah. Let this cup pass from me. But if not, let your will be done. And somewhere along in the Bible it says that an angel strengthened him. Isn't that what it said, Sister James? He said an angel gave him some strength. Now Jesus was sweating according to the Bible. He was sweating like it was great drops of blood. But somewhere an angel came and he brought a gift with him. He brought him the gift of strength. And I'm going to wrap this up. I know you're probably getting tired now, but I had thought about going for another 45 minutes, but I'm gonna shut it off now because I know you got some place to go and I know the football fans want to hurry up and get home. Starts at 3, somebody told me. I got a little bit more time then. But I tell you, when you get into a good prayer and a good walk with the Lord, there's nothing like it, is it, church? Walking right with God can keep you walking straight and narrow. You know, we are in a race. This life is a race. And if you fall off the track or out of the track, you need to pick yourself up and get going again. No race runner ever wins when he's not on the track, does he? If my favorite sport, baseball, if I'm watching the Cubs, I'm a Cubs fan. If I'm watching the Cubs and say Derek Lee comes up, and if he hits the ball out of the ballpark, but he runs from home to third and come back around, is that a home run? He'll probably be called out saying he went out of the base path or something. But I tell you, if we're on the track with God, we need to stay on the track with God. How do I stay on the track, preacher? I've said enough this morning. How do I stay on the track, preacher? Well, you come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. What if I did all of this? You tell me every Sunday, preacher, every time you stand up here, you tell me that I need to be baptized. I did that. I've already done that. I've already been there. And I've already done that. What else do I need to do? Well, if you walked astray, you got off the track, in other words. You need to ask God to forgive you. Come forward and ask the church to pray for you. And somebody said, well, I don't want to expose all my business to the church. Well, you don't have to tell the church just what's on your mind. Just ask the church to pray for you. And they'll pray for you. And somewhere, somebody's prayer will get through. I don't know whose prayer will get through, but somebody's prayer will.